I want to thank you for joining us.
Are we starting?
Is this Are we going?
Oh, I think it should. It's time that we should be going.
Okay, hold on. Here's your clap sync.
We don't do that.
Well, you're gonna need it.
I don't think they can see that sync.
You're gonna need it now.
Cause... Okay, here's my sync.
Mm-hmm. Great sync.
Yep.
Good sync. Good
masterful sync. Work. So I want to welcome everyone to the very first.
Oh my God.
Do we actually set
You don't someone? Know the name of your podcast?
Wait, hold on. No.
Well, the thing is that this was such an original idea between myself and Nick.
Yes.
Also, this is the first podcast that, since we've been on, we're actually doing face-to-face.
Oh, yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Nick and I. Mm-hmm. You guys all suck, so you can't come here.
Correct.
But it's such a good idea. We came up with multiple names.
Okay. And then we did settle on one.
Oh, so this is the reveal.
Okay. And the name is... Mm-hmm. After this word from our sponsors.
Oh, no.
Do you have gout? Too bad. All right. So that was a word from our sponsors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, welcome everyone to Caged Heat.
Caged Heat. Yeah.
That was fire sounds.
Let off the audible pyrotechnics that you're obviously... shooting off.
That was my first instinct. It felt that powerful.
Quite.
This is really the first podcast I've done in like 2 months.
And we appreciate that this is the one you chose to join.
I got shamed into it. I'm literally working while doing this.
And shame is such a great emotion that we can instill upon you. You're welcome.
Yes.
Oh, so, Ghost Rider.
On our podcast, Caged Heat. Mm-hmm. I'd like to list off our showrunners, which are Ed.
Thank you, Nick. And Nick.
Thank you, Ed. And we also have our super producer, Todd.
I don't think I want my name on this.
Oh, you don't want it.
Thank you, Todd, for being on the show, Todd. And we also have Andrew.
Hello, how are you?
Correct. And we also have Jim.
Hi.
Thank you, Jim.
Now, I'd like to go around the room. First, I'd like to go to my partner in crime. Ed? Tell me, what is your experience with not just an actor? Not just a thespian. Mm-hmm. Not just a man. But the Nicolas Cage.
So, this brilliant man, this man of multi-talent, multifaceted, depth and range. I mean, he just simply puts other actors to shame. Hell, other entertainers in general.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like him.
Correct. You are so correct.
Yeah.
I have to give you a golf clap for that. Thank now.
You. Can I join? I can join, right?
Indra, can you please stop interrupting? Oh my God.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Sorry.
You were saying it?
Well, you know, a lot of the times when the Sultan of Celluloid is brought up, it's in a bizarre and usually unflattering light.
I can totally see that. Some people dismiss his acting talents some words I've been seeing, in it for the paycheck, or that hack is on screen again, or Jesus Christ, another Nicolas Cage film. Somebody get my revolver. But.
And see, I would counter argument all of that by saying like, celluloid. Like he gets paid to do that. And thank God it's another Nicolas Cage movie.
I agree. That's how you feel about Nicolas Cage, and I respect that. I want to take it around the room. Andrew? Is Jim on?
Yeah, I am. Hi.
Jim,
I
forgot what do you how to do think this. About
is Mike too loud?
Cage.
Oh, Mike is good. Mike too good.
your mic is at acceptable levels.
Okay.
What's so the question? Andrew? Yes.
Is Jim's mic good?
Jim's mic is good. Okay. Acceptable levels, yes.
So, Jim.
Yes.
I want to ask you, can you get Andrew on the line?
Oh my God, what is this? What is happening?
And I what? What did you say?
Andrew, what do you think about Nicolas Cage, the man, the myth, the legend?
Living legend.
The living legend. He's pretty good.
Blasphemy.
Pretty.
Good. Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, National Treasure, you know, it's a good movie. On Air, good movie.
Two on the nose.
I'm going to have to say I don't recognize the Nicolas Cage vehicle, Two on the Nose. Is that a recent project?
No, man, he's like, you're picking the safe choices.
What? Excuse me. Like I was supposed to go out and watch the whole catalog of Nicolas Cage movies. Was
supposed
that my homework?
To, not that you already did or were privileged to do so.
No, totally. It was definitely there. Wally's Wonderland coming out or is out. Got to watch that. Right, that's a good one. I heard that. I watched it.
Moving on. Jim.
Yeah.
If you would so kindly grace us with your take on the greatness of Nicolas Cage.
So, Nicolas Cage is the reason I have air in my lungs. Is the reason why my blood pumps red as the shirt he wore in Raising Arizona. I'm not proud to be an American because of the usual tropes, but just the fact that I get to share the same nationality as Nicolas Cage. He almost was Superman too, that Kevin Smith was going to direct.
And we will touch on that.
Yes. That is something that we will touch on.
That topic won't get left behind.
Oh, God.
No, Jim, we will face off when that topic comes up.
Good. Because the last thing I want that topic to do is to leave Las Vegas. I don't want it to.
I just want you knowing that we will touch up on it.
All right, guys. I just want to get trapped in paradise, guys.
Some of these puns starting to feel a little G-forced, guys.
What are you fucking trespassing in our fun?
Don't make me break out my jiu-jitsu.
Bro, his jiu-jitsu is Bangkok Dangerous, bro.
Yep, and it could happen to you getting caught up in that, so you don't want to.
Oh, man.
I heard it's pretty kick-ass. You're such an outcast.
Well, I'm just saying, I heard the jiu-jitsu is pretty kick-ass.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I want to thank you for being on the podcast. Your words have probably touched a few people. And I want to say thank you.
My words are the best. Wow.
Andrew was here as well.
And my words are the best words.
Oh, my God.
last but not least, I want to ask our super producer, if he just has any quick asides on his relationship with Nicolas Cage's film body of work, greatness in all due respects. Todd?
National Treasure really made me read into a lot of conspiracy theories, and he is one of the few actors that can outdo Kirk Cameron in Christianness.
Yeah.
God's only dead because Left Behind is better.
Yeah. I mean, to keep with the theme, I'd give a hell yeah.
Yes, quite.
Oh, all right.
Ed, would you like to start us off with some of the topics that we have reared for everyone today?
Well, okay. Mm. So we all know about Nicolas Cage on screen. His private life has been kind of a whirlwind of just
information. Is it set to the soundtrack of his son's exquisite black metal band, Eyes of Noctum?
I was going to ask you that question, Jim.
They're not good.
on that, I mean, how many of his albums have you heard?
Well, I'll tell you this. They only had one album out that came out 12 years ago, and it's not very good. But just being associated with Nicolas Cage puts it up there with the Beatles.
But it is a black metal album, as I am told.
I guess
that it's as good as all the black metal albums. And again, like you said, because it is associated in the lineage of Nicolas Cage, it has shot itself to the top, Nick.
But okay.
So, Jim, to that point,
yes.
Which do you think is better, his time in Eyes of Noctum or Arch Anubis?
I haven't listened to Arch Anubis. I will have to do that.
Yes, you will definitely have to do that.
I'm going to have to commit assisted Harry Carey for not having listened to that. So goodbye, everybody.
No, Jim. Just hang around till the end of the podcast. Okay. Then
okay.
Do it.
Okay, all right. Mm.
Thank you. So, yeah, that's a few things about his personal life. And I mean, can we all just learn a little bit about the people that we admire?
Harry Carey. It's not spelled that way. You fuck.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm gonna do a retrospect stroke. If you're not watching the stream, guys, you're missing out.
Now another thing that I wanted to touch up on is, again, with his personal life, and we're talking about his life, but he is not just a man that thinks about his life, but he also has contemplated his death. And Andrew!
Yes?
I just wanted to ask you, did you know of Nicolas Cage's burial ideas and his plans?
He's going or to...
when he finally ascends.
He's going to burn, like, cremate himself, and then those ashes are going to go onto a rocket.
Oh, no.
And that rocket is going to get shot out into space. It's going to land on Jupiter and he will live again on Jupiter through some kind of, I don't know, science exposition.
No. So I just wanted to, a fun fact about Nicolas Cage is that he has a tomb that he has saved for himself in New Orleans, Louisiana, for our Louisiana listeners, Nerlens.
Oh my god.
And I just wanted to, and this tomb that he has, it is in the, you've put it up, thank you, Todd, is in the shape of a pyramid, as the great leaders of the past have done in Egypt, but this one is stateside.
Do you know what omni ab uno means?
Yeah.
What is? What does it mean?
So, we are talking about Nicolas Cage.
But it's his tomb, though. It's got it on there.
So, Andrew.
Yeah.
I just had one more question for you.
Okay.
You have seen Nick Cage's body of work. You've mentioned his National Treasures.
Yep. One and two. And,
one and two. Oh, no, fabulous. And you have also mentioned in pun form G-Force, which I'm guessing you've seen multiple times.
If I say no, does that kick me off of the podcast?
No, you stay on longer.
Yes.
Oh, God. I have definitely seen G-Force. Yep, hold on.
All right, so you're going to be the last person to leave.
Oh, God.
Great, because we have some more questions for you.
G-Force movie. Wiki. Go for it.
So, speaking of G-Force, mm-hmm. of all of Nicolas Cage's movies, what would you say is the greatest Nicolas Cage movie of all time?
I would.
There are no wrong answers.
Oh, there's not?
Okay. Except for none.
Okay. Then
anytime now, please.
I do like Con Air. That's probably my favorite with Nicolas Cage. So I'm just gonna go with Con Air. Final answer.
Cool.
Yep.
That's great.
Yeah, I understand why it would be Con Air, Andrew. I mean, we all felt that little tinge of gay when we saw him working out in prison. Like, you were like, man, I wish I could get locked up just to see this guy do pull-ups and push-ups in that tank top.
Nope.
I mean, speaking of locked up, I'm pretty sure Andrew saw those long flowing locks from Nicolas Cage's hair, and when he whisked those in the coming sunrise, he may have felt something.
I'm sure he did. Oh, I'm sure he did. Andrew, thank you for sharing all of that.
Hope you're very brave. Thank you.
Speaking of locked up,
oh,
fun fact. Did you know that Nicolas Cage was actually in prison for alleged domestic violence?
Really?
Yes.
Well, I'm starting to think some different things, but I'd like to hear more of the story.
Oh my God.
So he grabbed his then wife's arm in public, and police got called on him.
Was this Lisa Marie, or was this Patricia?
It was an ex-wife. The man has been married 5 times, so you forget which ones they are. I'm sure he did.
They come and go.
Exactly. But none other than the great Dog the Bounty Hunter posted his bail.
That's a real bra right there.
That is a real bra right there.
Does Nicolas Cage go with Christ?
Have you ever seen Left Behind?
He might have.
Jim, did you see Left Behind on PureFlix?
So since I've been a day one subscriber to PureFlix, I did. I did see it. Can I tell you my favorite Nicolas Cage, like, factoid?
I would love to hear that.
Ed, is that okay?
Yeah, no, please. The more Cage talk, the better.
So, Nicolas Cage is one to partake in mushrooms. And one time, his his little precious little bitty witty kitty cat ate all his fucking mushrooms. So Nicolas Cage went out, bought some more mushrooms from his dealer, and did them just so the cat wouldn't feel lonely on mushrooms.
He is a giver.
He is a giver.
That man, he takes so much from himself to share with the world, even an itty bitty cat. God, I love him.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love an animal lover, right?
Oh, everybody loves an animal lover.
Yeah.
There's a special place in heaven for animal lovers.
Fuck, yeah. I'm always saying something like that. Like, who wouldn't love a man who would buy two rare albino king cobras to protect him?
Yes, I mean, some of us have heard of guard dogs, but... Oh, I'm going to get a little crass here. What motherfuckers got guard snakes?
Yeah.
Do you know why he needs that protection?
Because he's Nicolas Cage.
Protection.
Well, have you not heard of the two instances that dictated him getting a fucking snake?
I have heard of a few instances that could require somebody getting... guard pets.
Would you like to talk necessarily... about that, or would you like me to talk about it?
No, you go ahead.
Yeah, please. We love to hear the input.
So the first instance was in 2011. A mime snuck past security while he was making a movie and just stalked Nicolas Cage.
Really?
I'll let that hang for a minute.
Now,
right?
when you say a mime,
a guy in full mime makeup just snuck up on stage and just
striped suit
staring at
and,
you,
and no audible like sounds coming
no
from
sounds.
His mouth, but very distinctly French,
very distinctly French, like aggressively French.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah,
that sounded very aggressively French. Don't do that.
He, like Pepe Le Pew aggressive.
Pardon my French, sorry. Didn't mean to.
He does
now, that's
have,
aggressive French.
He does have, I believe he either still does have it, or he sold it, or maybe he sold it and then bought it back. I don't remember. He does have an Action Comics number one, first appearance of Superman. That's an expensive comic book. But the other thing.
To let you know about that is that he does not have that anymore, because
okay.
He did buy it. But it was stolen from him, and he found it again and bought it back, but he then sold it later. So he's currently no longer the owner of an Action Comics number one.
Okay.
Is he flipping it?
Just flipping the same comic a bunch of times?
I mean, he did flip it because he bought it for about $100,000. But it was stolen from him, and it recently surfaced, which he found out through an episode of Storage Wars.
Wow.
Yup.
So when he actually got the comic back, because it was stolen, it was returned to him, but he did pay the losses that Storage Wars got for selling it off. But he did incur some debt, so he sold the Action Comic for around $2.1 million.
Woo!
And Woo! So he did recoup the losses that he spent on selling it, or that he spent on buying it and retrieving it. So good on him. Good on him. But you said you had a second anecdote?
As I got one more. In the same year, 2011, the same year, he endured a home invasion. He was woken up at 2 o'clock in the morning by a man standing at the foot of his bed, completely naked, wearing just Nicolas Cage's leather jacket, and sucking on a big old fudgesicle.
A big old fudgesicle.
A big old fudgesicle.
Where did he find it? Did he bring it, or was it in the freezer?
You know, it's just one of those things. And Cage, you know, the man of the people that he is, stayed calm, talked the guy into leaving his house, and didn't even press charges.
Well, because once you buy a guard cobras, you don't need to press charges.
Exactly, exactly.
That's very true. But now he does have his guard cobras.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says release the hounds, he ain't talking doggies. And that's one of the things that I admire about the guy. He does things that a man of his wealth would do, but he turns it not up a notch, but he removes the knob and puts it on a different machine and then turns that up. And that's what I respect about him.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy who's like, I know how much money I have. I'm going to spend this money on ridiculousness and I'm going to be okay with it because, you know, I'm me. This is what people will accept from me. Whereas, like, if you had somebody like, oh, I don't know, Jeff Bezos.
No, yeah, Jeff.
Boo.
Go out and buy Boo. Guard cobras. You would be more like, what the fuck? But Nicolas Cage, we're okay with it because, you know, this guy, if he doesn't do some off-the-wall shit, then we're upset. But like I said, he is an animal lover, had an octopus, spent $300,000 and outbid Leonardo DiCaprio for a dinosaur skull. Excuse me.
Yep. Looks like the winners keep winning.
Yeah, especially when you've got that kind of money. You can just blow it on a lot of different things. Like, oh, $65,000 diamond ring.
Ah. I'm glad you bring up diamond rings, especially of that specific price tag, because Andrew,
yo,
did you know one of Nicolas Cage's begrudgingly ex-wife's, she once had an engagement ring from Nicolas Cage, and one day, they may have gotten into a tuff. Let's just say they had a lover's quarrel, a spat, if you will. But instead of, you know, quietly brooding upon this and letting that be grounds for divorce, she took that engagement ring that she had and threw it into the harbor. Now, I want to say, Ed, do you remember which body of water that was?
I believe it was the Atlantic.
The Atlantic Harbor? The Atlantic Ocean.
Okay.
I'm thinking of one of Nick Cage's many films. But yes, threw it into the Atlantic Ocean. Now, the thing about this is that with $65,000, one would think that a millionaire would write that off and, you know, probably buy another one or just, you know, forget about it and say, okay, this just ain't working out. But Nick Cage, when he gives somebody an engagement ring, he gives them a promise. He gives them a vow. And when that's thrown into the ocean, he wants that back. So he has spent millions of dollars to have scuba divers try and recover this lost treasure. Yes. Wow. Now, I want you to hear that I said try, because it has not been recovered. And it is still out there to this day. Now, with modern technology that we have that we didn't have back then, I can use my computer to actually triangulate exactly where it might be.
Okay.
Because I can look at the tides that have gone in since that date, the actual currents, what the shipping traffic was like for the many boats, and I can fully tell you it is out there.
Oh.
Now, on the next podcast, I will be able to narrow that down. But we'll have to wait and see, won't we?
Spoiler, it's in water.
Let's get this to a second episode so we can find out where that is.
Yep.
Just saying.
I just want everyone that's listening, and with I can see there are a good number of you listening. I want to say thank you for giving us a shot. And I hope that you are entertained. We do have some more things that we want to touch up upon. But also, once we are done recording and we get this out, it would immensely help us out if everyone gave it a download and shared with their friends.
What Nick said.
Todd, are you having a good time?
Great time.
Awesome. That's what I like to hear.
That's exactly what Nicolas Cage wants of you, man. He wants you to have a good time at his expense. That's why he does all the things that he does. All the movies he's in. Hardest working man in Hollywood. Fun fact, from 2017 to 2019, this man had six. That's right. Six movie credits or movie and series credits to his name each year for those 3 years. Tell me that's not a dedication to your craft.
Like, most people are making movies, and if they were to use digits from their fingers to say how many, they'd put up one hand or less. But not this man. He has to get a friend to put up another hand, but he keeps one down. So it's still like two hands, but it's like five fingers per hand.
Yeah, you got to have the other hand for you to wrangle the other
hand. And then you use his other hand to point at the person and say, see, more than five. So, yeah.
Like, very hardworking man. 106 credits to his name. About to become everyone's 2020 favorite love icon, Joe Exotic.
Ah, yes. Those are some upcoming projects from Nicolas Cage. And I, for one, am very much down to see Nick Cage play as Joe Exotic, because we've all been in the 2020 wake looking for some type of solace through the monotony and madness. And one thing that came out was Tiger King, which everybody fell in love with, even though it had some of the oddest folk that you've seen, and it even includes that bitch Carol Baskin. I gotta say that would love to watch the portrayal that Nicolas Cage will bring to the character.
Because I guess I should watch Tiger King.
I guess you should. Because it's actually pretty wild, and I'm very surprised that you haven't.
Yeah. Melissa did. I haven't. It by the time I like it, like, I became aware of it. Like, had already become a thing. I just didn't want to, you know.
So it wasn't underground for long enough for you to say I knew it before?
I'm not even going to try and hide that.
Like, it's such a crazy and surreal story that...
Well, and also, the other reason why is... So... years ago, and I'm talking like years ago, like when all this shit like was actually happening in like the 2000s with him, mm-hmm. and like the early 2010s. An episode of Tell 'Em Steve Dave documented all of it. And so that's how I heard about it like 10 years ago. And so by the time there was the show, I was like, I already know what happened.
Well, yeah, a lot of people already know what happened because the news exists. You know, it was a documentary telling of past events. But it's just that it was something very different. Because yeah. one, I'm not a documentary guy. I will say I hate documentaries because they are boring.
Except for Planet Earth.
Oh, well, Planet Earth's not a documentary. That's an experience.
Yeah. What about the swear words?
That wasn't a documentary. That was a miniseries. Mm-hmm.
But isn't it like documenting different swear words?
It's classified as a miniseries.
Well, fuck. Commercials are documenting like how a Big Mac tastes. Shit.
What's the word of curse from South Park?
Mikrob.
Sorry.
Where they release the demon dragon Geldon. Because mm-hmm. I will always hear, "You're not Geldon. You at least the word of curse."
Good stuff.
Yeah, but yeah, Jim, you should totally watch it just because, like, it's insane how, like, you would think it's a mockumentary because of just the shit that comes out in this show.
Hot and guy with bad teeth.
A hot guy with bad teeth.
That's all I got from seeing what Alyssa was watching.
But like, it's just so insane that really only the Maharaja of method acting, that is Nicolas Cage, can bring Joe Exotic to life in a, you know, telling of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I fully agree with that. So now we have talked, we've brought up a lot of facts, and we've gone around the room to see what movies Nicolas Cage has impacted on you and what has made an impact.
But can I give a cagey tidbit, just one more?
Please.
Go ahead.
All right. So Nicolas Cage has a unique diet. In the sense that he's not a vegan. He's not like, you know, on the caveman diet. No. He picks the animals that he eats based off of how dignified their mating rituals are.
Please elaborate so on that.
He'll eat, birds. He'll eat fish. But he will not eat pigs. Because their mating rituals are too basic and too close to humans.
I see. Can you describe like what a pig's mating ritual would be like, and why he would be put off from?
So I won't. Like that? I won't do it. I won't do that, Nicholas. But I will tell you. Just go watch the first episode of Black Mirror, season one, episode one.
Well, that was a man.
Spoilers.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this 2011 episode of Black Mirror, I'm sorry I spoiled it.
And also, like, it's not a spoiler, it's the beginning premise of the show.
I mean, yeah. I've never seen it, so thanks.
I've never seen it, yeah.
Yeah, oh. Nothing's been spoiled.
Yeah. You don't know what I mean by that.
But, so a fish's mating ritual is dignified for consumption.
In his opinion, yes.
Jeff, you came in at one of the best times.
I like the use of the word "came." Powerful stuff.
But again, like we touched on earlier, he is an animal lover. So he loves the animals that love each other dignified. ways, mm-hmm. you know? And clearly, we also see that he loves women. Man has been married five times.
Five times.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Five lucky women got to marry this glorious Greek, non-Greek god. The first of which is the best story. Okay, so you're all familiar with Patricia Arquette, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, did you know that when we all love a boy meets girl story. And when Cage met Patricia Arquette, they met each other in the early 80s, but they didn't really know each other. But the day that Nicolas Cage talked to her, he proposed to her because he is that sure of the woman that he wanted to marry. So what Patricia did was that she said, I will marry you, but you have to perform a list of things for me, because she wanted to make sure that somebody that is going to propose the day meeting would say, okay. So she gave him a list of Herculean tasks. And what does our man do? Oh, he starts scratching them off because he's completing them, baby. And this throws Arquette off because she didn't think that he'd do it. So she was a little thrown off and she stopped talking to the man. Which, no. Oh, you can imagine that would put somebody in a spiral. But years later, they did meet again. And guess what happened? He got a ring on it. I mean, that's perseverance. That's knowing what you want and getting it. You know, not in a creepy way, though. Come on now, guys. But,
no one's thinking that.
Yeah, no one's thinking that. But come on now. Come on. So, that's a lovely little story.
Yeah. So he is a lover of the women and he's a great actor and he's eccentric enough to not stop, just to not be interesting. But the man is also not without his flaws.
Oh, so I wanted to ask, because we know a lot of the movie preferences of the people on our panel. We know how Jim likes a lot of Kevin Smith films.
Yeah.
Andrew, you like a lot of Michael Bay films. And Ed, you have a particular director that you do show a penchant for. Now, I wanted to say that there was an interview with Nick Cage that he has expressed as being a massive fan of Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah.
And he has said that he would find great interest in working with the film. And I wanted to ask Ed, when Nick Cage gets in a Tarantino film, how long will it take you to go from your home to a theater or to a streaming service to watch said film as it comes out?
See, this is a personal conflict for me, because we all know that I don't like Tarantino at all.
Too bad taste, that's fine.
Really, Troma Boy? So usually I give it about 4 years because everybody's just like, oh my God, that Tarantino movie is so fucking good. Everyone needs to go see it. 4 years down the road, it's like, okay, nobody's talking shit about it anymore. So I'll watch it. I don't generally like it, but I'll watch it.
Can I play semantics with you, Nick?
And
with me?
Hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on. Let me.
I'll wait for Fred. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me go. I'm still going. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So, I would watch this when it comes on to a streaming service, and just immediately. Oh well, immediately just go to any scene that Cage is in, and just mute the rest of it. And probably rewatch any scene where Nicolas Cage's feet show up. Because we all know how Tarantino likes his feet.
Pretty and problematic.
So, Jim, you wanted to talk semantics?
Semantics.
No. Who's semantics?
Sam Antics of the Antics Dynasty. Yes.
So, if we're being nitpicky, back in, I believe it was 2007, I apologize, a famous double feature movie came out entitled Grindhouse.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Titled Grindhouse, all right?
Yes, correct.
The first movie in that collection is Planet Terror.
Second movie
in that collection is the even better Death Proof.
So boring, now, correct.
Death Proof was directed by Quentin Tarantino. It's his most underrated film.
Why I fell asleep.
And Planet Terror is directed by Robert Rodriguez.
Yes.
In between those two movies, technically a Quentin Tarantino movie, and this segment being directed by Quentin Tarantino, there were several movie trailers. One of which was Werewolf Women of the SS. And who should be in that trailer as Fu Manchu? Our god, Nicolas Cage.
Now, hold on. Why does the description say Rob Zombie directed this?
This trailer.
Because multiple directors did direct the trailers that were in between.
Yes.
Such as
you should have warned me there is nudity on that!
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. You bad, bad boy.
So I was just saying, he technically has kind of already been in a Tarantino film.
But he hasn't. That was a trailer for another film that was not Tarantino.
And directed by Rob Zombie. Does it count?
That trailer was directed by Rob Zombie. You're correct.
Does it count that it was after the Robert Rodriguez movie? And then it led into the Quentin Tarantino movie.
But it was not in the movie, because those movies were also sold separately for people who didn't want to buy both Grindhouse.
Actually, originally they were only sold separately and did not have the trailers. Then years later, they came out with a double feature that had the trailers.
So, ipso facto, he's not been in the movie directed by Quentin Tarantino.
Okay. All right. I'm just throwing out things, guys.
No. I appreciate your enthusiasm, though. Because getting Ed on a gotcha moment is bliss.
It happens so rarely.
It does. But my response is the best that I could come up with to kind of circumvent my hatred for one and the respect I show for the other.
So, now that we're thinking about it, when it comes to movies that, you know, Nick Cage has been in. And then we're thinking about directors that might their movies might be enhanced by Nicolas Cage. I just want to ask, my esteemed colleagues, what movies do you think would be enhanced by adding Nicolas Cage?
Or, anything with Michael Keaton.
Or what would have been better had Cage been cast in somebody's, instead of somebody else?
Well, Superman, come on.
Who framed Roger Rabbit, but he was Jessica Rabbit.
I mean, he has the range to pull it off. Like, he's now, done animation.
Are you saying that he would be the voice of Jessica Rabbit, or they would replace the cartoon with Nicolas Cage?
I was going to say yes to both, but also the mocap does sound interesting, so yeah.
Nicolas Cage as Severus Snape. I do like that.
So, Andrew, you are indeed saying you'd love to see Nicolas Cage as a cartoon sex object.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
I understand completely.
I mean, if that's what you're into, Andrew, you should just go the full Monty and have him replace Hollywood in Cool World.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my God, what a great fucking movie.
Well, after hearing that, I was going to ask Jim what he would think would be better with Nicolas Cage, but...
I can hear the boner from here.
Yeah.
Brandon Ralph, go away. You can just be Bobby Long. We can know Brandon Ralph as Bobby Long or... why am Ray I forgetting?
Todd Ingram?
Yes.
Todd Ingram? Oh, yeah. Yes.
Come on. No, one of the two. All right. Why couldn't our guy Nicolas Cage be Superman? He looked good in that suit.
Did he?
He did.
He looked real good in that suit.
All right. So I've actually been saving on this. Is I'm going to have a Cage Heat hot take. We don't have a sound bite for this, but I'm just going to say. And my hot take is that the movie Superman Lives that would have starred Nick Cage, I am glad it died. And here is the reason. I do not want a cinematic comic book movie universe started with Tim Burton. Because had Superman Lives lived, then there would have been a sequel because it is a Superman movie starring Nicolas Cage. Obviously, it'd get a sequel. And then they bring in Tim Burton's Batman to do something. And then they bring in some like leather jacket wearing a Hot Topic Wonder Woman. And she... would have had she probably would have gotten the movie a lot earlier, honestly, had that cinematic universe come about. But the entire like premise of it, of a Tim Burton world, it crawls in my skin like a bad Limp Bizkit or Linkin Park song.
Yeah, and also, like, we know it's Tim Burton, so you already know that Lois Lane is going to be Helena Bonham Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see that.
Let me ask you a question.
Shoot.
This is open for everybody.
Hmm.
Now, do you know, like, who wrote the screenplay to Superman Lives?
Yes, I do.
Yeah? Okay. What if he directed it instead of Tim Burton?
That would have been fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was Kevin Smith, by the way.
Yeah, it was Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith.
Because I have said my disdain for documentaries, but I have seen the Kevin Smith documentary of Superman Lives.
Yeah.
Or it's the very death good. Of Superman Lives.
Yeah.
And I have heard about the producers that were on Superman Lives and mm-hmm. his wild takes for what the movie would have brought.
Yep.
As in Superman not allowed to fly.
Yep.
So that's another reason why I say Superman Lives died for a reason.
You know what? Do you know what lived though and was put into another movie?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
You see, he did have a notable list of things that he wanted in the movie. Superman Lives. He wanted Superman to fight a polar bear.
Yep.
He didn't want Superman to fly. And to put it in Kevin Smith's words of the producer's words, he wanted a giant fucking spider.
Well, they're the most ferocious predator out there.
The most ferocious. Now, this one producer, because he didn't actually get Superman Lives off the ground, he did move on to another film, which was The Wild Wild West, starring Will Smith. And in that movie, there will be slight spoilers for Wild Wild West.
It was 1997. We're okay.
There is a giant mechanical big fucking spider. And that man, when he throws his money around, he gets his wish. So if you want to watch Superman Lives, you can at least watch part of it by watching The Wild Wild West and seeing what could have been.
Yeah.
Also, maybe Nick Cage would have enhanced Wild Wild West. To play off of Will Smith, I think very much so.
Yeah. So here's a quick question for everyone. Who do you think Johnny Depp would have played in this Superman Lives?
I think
Edward
Nygma. Jimmy Olsen.
Oh wait, that's Batman. But yeah, Jimmy Olsen. Yeah.
Jimmy.
I mean, do you think Johnny Depp would have put on a bald cap to play Lex Luthor?
I mean, he put on that fucking hat to play Alice in Wonderland and that clown makeup. And he was a pirate. So for a bald cap, doesn't seem far out of his wheelhouse. He'd do it.
Yes, but you have heard of him as a pirate.
God damn it.
Gross.
Andrew. Shout out to our stream yesterday.
let's ask you. What movies do you think would be enhanced with Nicolas Cage? Oh wait, no, you said Jessica Rabbit in your odd fetish. I forgot. Unless, do you want to change that? Or do you want to stick to your sick deviancy?
He could have played Luke Skywalker in all the Star Wars.
In the ones he wasn't in?
Yeah, we're saying what movies he could have been in.
All of them.
Oh, you're saying he would have been Luke Skywalker, even in the ones
that Luke Skywalker is not featured. Skywalker wasn't. Yes, in. Yeah. If Luke Skywalker is not featured in the movie, he's still in it. Like, he's gonna get a credit and a paycheck.
That's how he needs that paycheck.
No, I mean, guard cobras don't pay for themselves.
Yeah. But, I mean, coming back to Superman, I do feel like that was kind of handled in a way of, like, making a deal with the devil. Because he was, you know, signed up to play Superman. He got paid. He still got paid his $20 million for that film that never came out. But I feel like he had to tell somebody over at Warner Brothers, like, I'll name my first kid Kal-El if you give me this role. And that's exactly what happened.
Incorrect.
He named his kid Kal-El.
He did, but that was not his first kid.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. Yeah. My first kid that wasn't out of wedlock.
Let's think, Let's think about 1997 Nicolas Cage, though. He's hot off of, like, Face Off, Con Air. Like, he's everywhere.
Yes. Oh, he's everywhere.
Yes.
So that's, I mean, I don't think it was too far off to be like, who's an action star that can play Superman? Boom, Nicolas Cage. Now, it'd be like, they would make Birdman 2, and instead of Michael Keaton, they would do Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, in him naming his son Kal-El, and off of not being cast in Superman Lives, Nicolas Cage still played Superman in the oft-unlooked-at movie,
oh my gosh,
Teen Titans Go to the Movies, released in 2019. And it was an animated film. Moving on. Todd, did you have any movies that you think that would be greatly enhanced by Nicolas Cage?
I was thinking about this. What if he played Moriarty in the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes movies?
That is fucking brilliant.
I love that idea. I actually love that idea.
Because I don't even remember who played Moriarty in those movies.
Some jackoff, yes.
Yeah, some British guy.
There's a British older dude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like a ginger, but not a ginger.
Mm. Yeah. Jared Harris, apparently, is what Jeff says.
Jared Harris, you bitch.
Well, noted a Britophile.
Every other, like, British person.
Yeah, right, Jeff does know a lot of British people.
So, okay. Yeah, Moriarty, that'd be pretty sick. Yeah. I like that. I mean, if I were to choose a movie that I think would be enhanced by Nicolas Cage, oh, so many of them to choose from. But I would say I would stick Nicolas Cage in Jurassic Park.
If you say instead of Jeff Goldblum,
that's immediately where I went.
I'm gonna leave. Don't say it.
Oh, I gotta get close to the mic so I can say this. I was gonna say Dr. Holland.
Oh,
that's his name.
Yeah.
John Holland. Yes, that's who I wanted, because to have a doctor like that, I'd like him to be a lot more eccentric, you know, mad scientist-ish.
And are you saying Dr. Hammond?
Hammond!
Oh, yeah, it is Hammond. Yeah. It is
Hammond. Yeah.
Hammond. Sorry, I've never seen Jurassic Park, so I was like,
it's all right.
Oh, because Nick Cage isn't in it.
Exactly. Sometimes you just don't watch him because he's not in them.
Yeah, and I fully expect the movie to be reaching a wider audience had they put him in.
It's like James Bonds have always been okay movies, but like they would be good movies with Nicolas Cage as James Bond in all of them since the beginning.
Mm. What, since the beginning? So you mean like from Russia with Love? So instead of Sean Connery, it's Nicolas Cage.
Well, From Russia with Love isn't the first Bond movie. That would be Dr. No.
Yeah.
And yes, because Nicolas Cage is immortal. Oh. Yeah, why not?
But he hasn't shown his face in Hollywood until much later, when he wanted to reveal himself.
I mean, exactly, yes. exactly.
When he wanted to go on his own merits, not his family's name.
Because that is why he did change his name from Nicolas Coppola.
Yep.
To Nicolas Cage.
That, and he liked Luke Cage.
Wait, what?
Yeah. Well, yes, Nicolas Cage's actual name is Nicolas Coppola, and he is the nephew of the famed director Francis Ford Coppola. And so to make it in Hollywood, but not rest on the laurels of his family's lineage, he wanted to make a name for himself, so he chose the name Nicolas Cage, which... Mm-hmm. It was actually a debate for him because it was between that or the surname Blue, B-L-U-E. And I'm very much glad that he went with Nick Cage.
Otherwise, this podcast would not have a name.
Yeah. And we'd be talking about some dark topics because it'd be very blue.
Oh, man.
Dabba-dee-dabba-die.
Now, I do have a question to keep it on the rails. Ed, what movie would you say would be enhanced with Nicolas Cage?
Okay. So again, this is going to be a little bit controversial because the movie I'm choosing is not particularly teen. It's not bad. It's not great. The series that it's from, though, however, people love it. So I think he would have been much better in his uncle's film, The Godfather Part 3.
Yep, nope, I agree.
Yeah, he would have been a much better fit than Sofia Coppola. Because she was not good. Just throw a wig on the man, and he's got the range to pull off that weird incestual cousin thing. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. You all motherfuckers thought, I was going to say replace Andy Garcia, didn't you?
A little bit, actually.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Not this man. Not his talents. Not Mr. Nouveau Shamanic himself.
I mean, it would have been weird on a very meta level for
the two cousins.
Portrayed in film as two cousins with a slightly incestuous tones. Yeah. That would have been pretty odd.
Yep.
Pretty odd.
But him and Andy Garcia. I'd watch that over Andy Garcia and Sofia Coppola.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
So, I hope everybody had a fun time with that little, like, mental exercise. Because I just wanted to, if we could, like, move it a genre farther. Or, let's say, a medium farther.
Yeah.
I want to ask, since the podcast that we're on is an offshoot of our parent retrospects.
Retrospects.
Uh-huh. And
which is primarily gaming based.
Yeah, gaming based and video games.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, what video games would be enhanced with portrayals from Nicolas Cage? As in, can anyone think of a voice acting talent, motion capture, a likeness thrown into their game to enhance it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yep, can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Now, I would put this game in my top five games of all time.
I agree with you, Jeff.
Top five. I don't know what Jeff said.
He said Sam Porter Bridges for Nick Cage.
From Death Stranding. Good. That's pretty good.
This is my top five favorite games of all time.
Oh.
Okay. It's already got a spectacular voice acting cast. Like bar none. But if the option would be to have Nicolas Cage take over for Ray Liotta, Grand Theft Auto Vice City would be on another level. Like, there wouldn't even... People always go, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas is better than Vice City. Or Vice City is better than San Andreas. No, there wouldn't even be an argument. Vice City would leaps and bounds better than San Andreas. I already think it is, but with Nicolas Cage, it would be solidified. There would be... Instead of Grand Theft Auto 5, we know it would have just been this massive multiplayer Grand Theft Auto Vice City taking place in the 80s with Nicolas Cage as the
GTA Online would have started with Vice City had Nick Cage been in there.
Oh. Yep, 100%. 100%. Right.
Jim, I am liking you being on this podcast.
Yeah, Jim, seriously. Any doubts that we all had?
That we all had.
Including you? No, they're completely out the window.
Mm-hmm, because I'm so glad that you're putting in some pretty choice answers, and I'm loving every bit of it.
This
Roman Bell,
I
appreciate that.
A lot of pressure now. Oof. So
Andrew,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Can you hold it down? Because I'm going to ask Todd a question.
Okay.
Todd.
Hi.
Can you make sure that Andrew's mic is at proper level? Because I want to ask him a question.
Yeah, of course.
All right, thank you, Andrew.
Yes.
What video games do you think would be enhanced with Nick Cage?
Well, I thought about it, and the Tommy Vercetti is top tier right there. Like I, you guys all said it. It's a slam dunk right there. It's a home run. Knock it out of the park. All those little bits there. I thought, what if we went one step further? Right? What if we did one jump man further? What if we got rid of Charles Martinet, you know, and from 64 and on, all you heard was the smooth, sultry sounds of Nicolas Cage as a Mario.
As Mario. As some would call him Mario Mario.
Yeah, that's what Mario.
His name? Right?
Yeah, Jeff has a good point. He is Italian.
Yeah.
Technically. I'm listening to it in my head, and I just want to make sure it's the same thing that you're hearing yourself. So could you give me a brief description of how Nicolas Cage would portray Mario?
Yeah.
Voice acting wise.
I'm not an impressionist.
Yeah, please. I'd love to hear it. I just wanted to make sure.
It'd be like,
please. There's no wrong answers. Continue.
It would be like, it's me, Mario. No, that's Keanu, isn't it? But it's something like that, you know.
What's funny is that every time somebody like does a Nicolas Cage, they skid into Keanu.
It's very odd, and we've all been subject to it. So
have we?
Yeah,
seen
I mean, that? We all know Keanu just like does a Nicolas Cage impression on screen too.
Nicolas Cage is just Keanu. If Keanu's
sir?
Mom,
and let him finish. Let him finish.
Hold on. I'm not disparaging either one of them, but Nicolas Cage's mom just might have drank a little bit extra whiskey instead of Keanu Reeves. That's why you got a little more rough and tumble version of Keanu. In my opinion, the better version of Keanu.
So instead of like.
Rough and tumble.
Too many vodkas. She had a little too much of the brown.
You think Nicolas Cage's mom?
No, not Nicolas Cage.
Francis Ford Coppola.
Keanu Reeves' mom
would
be sucking down vodka, while Nicolas Cage's mom would be sucking down, I'd say, a nice brandy.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, like something that would involve a muddle.
John Wick would be better with Nicolas Cage instead of Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, John Wick was already better with Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah, that's true.
The greatest scene Face Off, right there.
don't be saying that on recordable screen. But yeah, so I like had I chosen a video game. I will say it after I ask Todd, what video game would you like to see Nicolas Cage in?
Max Payne. Hell yeah.
That's extra.
Yeah.
The first one?
All three. Especially fat one, which is three.
Okay.
So
I see a trend going on.
Well, I actually want to say
Rockstar.
If you couldn't get Nicolas Cage, because I want to disagree a little bit. Because having the shoestring budget that the first Max Payne had, they had to get the likeness of the head writer for it, which was Sam Lake. And so that made it, he gives some of the, I want to say, stupidest faces that you can put on some PS1 graphics. But I do like the idea of a Nick Cage portrayal as Max Payne. Now, do you think that the Max Payne movie adaptation would be much better with Nicolas Cage as well?
No.
So keep Marky Mark the Wahlbog
uh-huh.
in that.
Yes.
But Nicolas Cage for the
as video the source, game. Because that will alter Marky Mark's rendition of it to make it worse, which would make it better.
Ah.
Todd, you're playing some 5D chess, and I'm going to need you to
you really are.
Reel it in a bit, okay?
I like it. Can
I real quick?
Yeah, what's that?
I have another game in mind.
Oh, please, go ahead.
So, I don't know if you guys remember, and this is going to be another shout-out to the retrospects.
Retrospects!
In 1998, for the PlayStation 1...
Please don't plug your podcast.
oh, I haven't.
Not you.
there was a game called Apocalypse, which starred Bruce Willis in likeness... Oh. And also in likeness and in voice acting. How much better would this game be if it was Nicolas Cage?
Oh,
I don't know this game.
I know exactly the game that he's talking
what
about.
Game?
Apocalypse, starring Bruce Willis.
It's the one where if you have to push a button to open a door, you kick that motherfucker in with the heel of your boot.
Yep. Oh, and it's basically a stick shooter, right?
Think the Die Hard arcade games.
Yeah.
Think Hotline Miami, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, funny. So, but yeah, no, this was, had Bruce Willis animated and everything. This is it right here. Yeah. Just shooting a bunch of lasers around at like these big.
When did this come out?
This came out in 98, I believe.
So after Fifth Element.
After Fifth Element, yes. So that's when Bruce Willis was hot stuff. So
he was some hot shit.
So, that was his, what is it, renaissance.
Yeah, yeah. So what if Nick Cage got Fifth Element? What if Nick Cage got this game?
I'd be all on board with it.
Yeah. I didn't know how to quite phrase it.
Like,
But he has to be saying things throughout.
Yes. Oh, no. So Bruce Willis is talking in this game.
Oh.
Yes, he is saying things. He's got little quips, little one-liners. Yeah, yeah, he's got that.
Yeah, it's just we're watching a soundless.
Soundless, clip. Yeah.
But, I got one more whenever y'all are ready.
Please.
Oh. Go ahead.
All right, guys.
Andrew, are you done?
No, please, go ahead. Okay. Yeah, that's.
All right, imagine it's a couple years later, 2001.
Mm-hmm.
You just got your hands on a brand new PlayStation 2.
Ooh. I've had it for a while, but okay.
All right, PlayStation 2. I've had it for a while. Well, I was launched it, kid.
Oh, yeah. I've heard about that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But this game was considered kind of the true first great game of the PlayStation 2 era. And I can't think of anybody being able to pull off that laugh quite like Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage should have voiced
Titus from
it.
Final Fantasy X.
Get out.
say Final Fantasy X except Waka.
Jeff, I do agree. He should have been in Mortal Kombat as Johnny Cage. I mean, he's already halfway there.
He also should be Laura Croft. I agree with Jeff.
Well, it depends on, is it the Angelina or the Alicia Vikander one?
Why not both?
Yes.
Oh, man.
The man has range.
The man has range.
The man has range.
So
take a gun to this man because he's got range.
Ed,
yes, Nick.
What game do you think would be better with Nicolas Cage?
I'm going to go up a few years, something more recent.
Oh, okay.
Because when we thought of this question, I immediately came with a name. Hagen Min, Far Cry 4.
Did we lose everybody?
I've never played any Far Cry game.
No, I haven't played Far Cry 4, but I do know of Pagan Man, and I've seen enough clips and stuff of Pagan Man.
Jeff has clearly played. Because he agrees.
Andrew, you have played Far Cry 4.
I have, yes.
What do you think about that casting?
Well, Pagan Man was Troy Baker.
Yes, right. And all know I have a great respect for Troy Baker and all voice actors in this medium. Mm-hmm. But, Nicolas Cage as Pagan Min. Like, Pagan Min is psychotic.
This is a game where if you just waited in the very beginning, you instantly ended the game, right?
Yes.
Spoilers?
Yeah. Well,
I just said I haven't played it.
Neither have I.
Oh my God.
I think I learned about that on X-Play. If that is it.
Yep. So, but yeah, no. That's a good fit, I'd say. You know, he could really take that mental state that Pagan Ming has
from going eccentricities.
Yes, thank you. That's a perfect word for it. Eccentricities. He could take that and he could run with it because of range.
There he is. There's Pagan Man.
Yes, that is the guy, Pagan Man.
So imagine Nick Cage's bird hair instead of this blonde fuckboy look.
Imagine him saying, "I'm a cat. I'm a sexy cat."
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Like if he came and said, "Please try the Crab Rangoon." I would try that fucking Crab Rangoon and then start shooting shit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, like I was thinking of Far Cry 3 because.
Oh, no. You're thinking of the other guy.
Exactly.
Voss?
So yeah, Voss is just on a whole nother level of crazy. And I enjoyed that guy's performance, but I was like, I'm just going to leave that one as it is. But the one that could have used just a little bit of Cage magic was definitely Pagan Min. Maybe even Far Cry 5. But that guy had to be religious crazy.
And Nick Cage is just religious.
Yeah.
Sure. He's not. I mean, the guy's going to be buried in a tomb a pyramid, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, Pagan Min. That is my choice.
Oh, that is some good stuff. That is some good stuff. So, I thought about this for like a good while, and then when I thought about this and we brought up the question, we workshopped some ideas. I did have a few of them that I wanted. And for the life of me, I can't remember exactly what they were. But in thinking about it, I do remember some tidbits. So as I say it, they're probably going to start come to light. So I would say the Gears of War franchise would have been enhanced.
Oh, my God.
With Nicolas Cage. And I'm talking, you know, the old school 360 first three, which I'm not saying that
John DiMaggio.
I'm not saying that he should replace John DiMaggio or Dom, but Baird as Nicolas Cage. That'd be some hot shit. I'd like that. Because he'd be all over the wall. He doesn't need to have the gruff voice, but oh, God damn it, he will gargle some gravel if he needs to, I'm sure.
Or am I in the wrong podcast if I say Augustus Cole?
yeah, no.
Todd, mute his mic.
Mute his mic.
Oh, God. The user was moved out of your channel.
I'm sorry, but I didn't think we'd have to cancel someone as we cast, but here we are.
User was moved to your channel.
Andrew, did you learn your lesson?
We'll see.
but yeah, the Gears of War franchise, he'd add some eccentricities to it as well. Nope. That's not what Augustus Cole says. I know that's what you were thinking you were going for, but that's not what it is.
What is it, Nick?
Well, Augustus Cole, or as some of the people in universe will call him, Coltrane, he gives a guttural yet enthusiastic
Yep, that's the one right there.
Those yeah. spikes.
yeah, there should be a spike. Because he is a thrash ball player.
What about...
He spiked the ball. Mm-hmm. That's what I was going for in talking about
thrash. What about Nicolas Cage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
As our friend GLaDOS.
No.
No.
Yes.
No, as
Think
we...
Think about it.
He would be better as Cave Johnson than
GLaDOS. That's what
Cave Johnson. Yeah.
Nick Cage.
Yeah, Todd. Yep. Johnson. I yield. Yeah,
Cage Johnson.
I take back my request.
Oh, that's saucy. I like that.
You're welcome.
Oh, can anyone think of any other games that would be enhanced with Nicolas Cage?
Genshin Impact, any of the characters.
Any Legend of Zelda.
Just Nicolas Cage is Ganon?
No, Zelda.
Once they went to voice acting, putting Nicolas Cage in there, nobody would be complaining anymore.
I actually do have a real one. Like, him as the voice of Dracula in Symphony of the Night.
Wait, what makes a man? PlayStation 1 version?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the really bad version?
Yes. But
it'd be really good once he got into it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Or even better. Original Resident Evil, he is Wesker.
Oh. Can he be Resident Evil Barry Burton and call Jill the Master of Unlocking?
He can be all the guys.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong. Resident Evil 4, he's Ashley.
I would tolerate Ashley after that.
That's what I would say. Ashley is, I think, the most annoying video game character of all time. That would make the game more fun.
Really?
I do believe that some people have hot contentions to that statement.
Navi.
You like Ashley?
Hmm. Oh, no, there's a lot of people. I've never actually played Resident Evil 4.
Okay.
Nick doesn't do zombies.
I don't do the zombie horror Resident Evils, except, goddamn, I gotta get in for that big lady.
Fucking Friday.
Yeah. Fucking Friday.
Yeah. A year from Friday.
But, yeah. I mean, okay. Well, we got some good answers.
Yeah.
Like, full round. And then we'd like to put this out to our chats, and once we get this out on Facebook, anybody else have any video games or movies that could be enhanced with Nicolas Cage, please let us know.
Yes. We'll
have a discussion about it.
Yes.
All right.
Maybe we'll talk about it in episode 2.
We'll definitely talk about it in episode 2.
Yes. Well, guys,
I know I've said this before, but again, I want to thank everyone that has been on.
Yeah. Thank you guys, Jim, Andrew, Todd, Jeff in the chat. Thank you for participating.
Even David.
Jeff said, fuck you to me, so no, not to Jeff.
Yeah, but this is our show, and we thank Jeff.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough.
We appreciate our audience.
So, I want to wrap this up and say, everyone, you have the cagiest life, and we'll see you again, hopefully.
Can I
season is still around, you know, because we really need it, and please download. We're trying to get up to an unspecified number, but
if you guys want to
download,
just 25.
Damn it.
Can I real quick, I just want to share a quote that I found of Nicolas Cage that I think really suits this podcast.
By all means.
Please.
So Nicolas Cage has said, I am not a demon. I am a lizard, a shark, a heat-seeking panther. I want to be Bob Denver on acid playing the accordion. Nicolas Cage. I feel like that solidifies and definitely speaks to the heart of what the show is. It
just resonated with me.
Like, I wasn't feeling so well, but now I am just amazing after hearing that.
Like, my heart is filled with a caged heat right now. Thank you, Andrew. All right, well, bye, everybody.
Put me back in the box.
Thank you for joining us, and you have yourself a good night.